Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to your Dunamos Life. I'm Dr. Pauline Dillard, Executive Director and CEO of Dunamos Center Ministries in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Here at the Dunamos Center, it's our mission to bring praise, honor, and glory to God by building Christ-centered, heart-connected marriages, births, and families who have deeper relationship with God and each other. I would like to welcome my co-host to the show today.
Hi, this is Catherine.
Hi there, Catherine. So we're kind of winding up our month on cesarean awareness today.
That's right.
And one of the things that I'd like to share is that we're going to talk about the beginning, a little bit of changes we're seeing that have contributed to maybe bringing that C-section down a little bit, and then choices for birthing and how important those are to changing your chances or possibilities for a cesarean.
Okay? Right, right.
But first, I wanted to talk about how you can get a hold of us if you'd like to communicate with us.
Yes. Yes, there are ways that you can connect with us. We would love for you to connect with us.
Yes, we would.
So on Facebook, search Dunamos Center Ministries. On Twitter, go to @YourDunamosLife. Please feel free to email us. That is DunamosLife@DunamosCenter.com. And for all of those, Dunamos is spelled D-U-N-A-M-A-S. We also welcome you to check out our website, simply dunamoscenter.com. Or, you know, a novel sort of concept is to pick up a phone and
hello, ring,
reach
ring.
A person. If you'd like to reach us by phone, the number is 719-231-7183.
Thanks, Catherine. I really do want to encourage you to send us your questions or comments, because we'd really like to build the show around what's interesting to you. But keep in mind, here at Dunamos Center Ministries, we have what we call the three pillars. And our three pillars are marriage, childbirth, and biblical wellness. So you've probably noticed the pattern in our shows that we'll tend about talk about marriage issues, maybe even spiritual mental health a little bit, because that fully impacts how we walk as Christians in our marriages.
Sure.
Fully impacts how we make choices for God in our childbirthing. And it fully can impact how we treat our bodies as the temple of God.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So I just want to put out there that those are the areas that we focus on, but we're happy to talk about walking as a Christian, if you'd like, other topics that are related to childbirth, anything related to birthing, including healing from birthing trauma, which is, of course, one of my specialties as well.
Yes.
And the reason that we are spending so much time talking about the cesarean awareness piece this month and how it impacts moms and dads is because it creates so much trauma for many, many families.
Right. I think a lot of couples, before they have children, they don't realize what a significant event that is in their life.
Right.
And you will always remember that event.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Hopefully good. We pray good
experiences
for everyone.
Right.
But if it's bad, you'll remember that too.
And so I was thinking actually the other day, you cannot traumatize a birth without traumatizing a family.
Right.
And people don't realize that it impacts the marriage. You know, in Corinthians 7, it talks about our bodies are not our own, that they belong to each other, and that we are one. And so everything that happens to one of us happens to the other one of us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to keep that in mind, that the world says, you know, it's the woman who's pregnant, it's her body, she should birth the way that she wants to birth. And then the other side of that is the medical system comes in and says, oh, no, she doesn't. She doesn't get to do that. She gets to do what we tell her to do. And we do that by putting fear in there and putting greed in there. And that's what we've kind of talked about, what has led up to some of this trauma and why it's so important to be aware of that trauma.
Right.
Yeah. So there has been, I was going to say good news, but I think it's really more like slightly
mediocre
better news. Yeah, slightly mediocre better news in the realm of cesarean numbers. And one of them is that the number of cesareans being performed has kind of plateaued off the last few years, like 2 or 3 years.
The percentage?
Yes, we kind of hit that 33% to 34%. We haven't seen it continue to rise, because you were looking at some information. And how long had it continued to rise up to that point? Since when?
Let's see, this starts in 1989, it goes down just a little bit, maybe 97, and then from 97 all the way up to 2012, it's just a solid increase.
And mm-hmm. so we're seeing some plateauing. One of the things that happened in 1997 was ACOG put out some statements about VBACs, you know, that if a hospital didn't have 24-hour anesthesiology, they were not equipped to do VBACs or mm-hmm. vaginal births after cesareans. And so we saw a huge increase in secondary cesareans at that point. And a lot of people were couldn't even find a facility, a medical facility that would even, quote unquote, allow them for a trial of labor mm-hmm. or to have a baby vaginally if they'd had a previous cesarean.
Right.
So in this past year, I can't remember exactly when, I believe last fall, ACOG has now put out a statement that all women should be allowed to try to have a vaginal birth after a cesarean if there's no medical indication for her not to, other than she had a cesarean.
Well, thank you, ACOG.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I'm sorry. That's
I know.
Part sarcasm, part truly, I guess, thank you for recognizing that
right.
there is a valid reason to...
And people don't realize that, well, ACOG is the American Council of OBGYN. It used to be the American College of OBGYN, but now they're going by American Council, I think. Part of what I want to emphasize there, though, is keep in mind that these statements and these attitudes are based on who's the president of ACOG.
You know, has it changed?
Yes, several times. But back in 1997, they had a man in as president who... just didn't want to wait on women having babies and thought it was ridiculous not to just do surgeries and things like that. And it was just more convenient for them. And, you know, he didn't honor or value women's bodies at all.
And this is who we're choosing to have the head of OBGYN.
Right. And so we've had several changes since then. And this is the more recent president is in more support of less medicalized birthing. So that was...
Seriously, praise the Lord. That's
right.
Great.
Not that there's not other things, and not that it's completely fantastic,
right, right.
but it's an improvement.
Right.
The other policy changes we've seen in some of the birthing facilities, and this is by hospital, or by medical system, or by city,
mm-hmm.
They've been putting out policies about early induction that mm-hmm. have shifted in the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And so... the reason we mention these things is because when we look at, say, pro-choice birthing, you need to know the information to make a healthy choice.
Right.
And one of the things about this information that's so key is we were looking at, they used to do them as early as 37 weeks.
Right.
Yeah, sometimes just for convenience, you know, the dad's home from, you know, military service or something, so we're just going to...
Or the doctor's going to go
on vacation, or the mom's tired of being pregnant, whatever it is. So they would induce as early as 37 weeks, and
right.
we saw an extreme increase in cesarean sections for those babies.
Right, because inductions, if they don't go well, they'll end in
right.
cesarean. And if an induction is done with a baby that's not ready to be born, they're going to... that's just fighting a losing battle.
Right, because the baby's not going to cooperate with the process and change its hormonal
and the hormones,
processes.
Right, yeah.
And then the baby is going to react to the drugs that are being used, and it's not going to like it. He or she's really not going to like that. And then that's where we would see the changes in heart rate and stuff like that.
Right.
So some hospitals have really changed the policy that anything before 39, and I guess you saw even 40 weeks at some places, has to be justified by a medical panel medically before they are allowed to do the induction.
Yeah.
So it's not like the doctor can just say, I'm going to go on vacation. You're going to have an induction at 37 weeks. He now has to go before a panel of his peers and say, medically, this is why I believe this baby needs to be born now.
Yeah.
And then those peers get to decide whether or not that is justified.
And that seems like a much better process.
Right, because who's going to want to go through that process unless it's really necessary?
Right, right.
So those are some positive changes.
Yeah.
The other changes that I think we want to talk about is how you, the mothers, the fathers, need to make some positive changes.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is taking more responsibility for the choices that you make.
Right.
And how do we, in particular as Christian, approach this process?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because our decision-making has got to be different than what we see outside of the church. And sadly, we're not seeing that difference, are we?
Unfortunately, no. No. There's a tendency to, well, you know, my doctor said, or, you know, my friend said to go with this doctor. And so...
Right, right.
But what did you pray about it? Did you seek the Lord?
Right.
I was talking with one particular woman who was, you know, very convinced that she was high risk. And so that was the end of the story. So whatever the doctor said, you know,
right.
And there was no convincing her to
ask Jesus.
So I don't know. I feel like sometimes Christians get this mindset of being, you know, some circumstance comes up and a doctor might in passing say something about high risk and then, oh, well, okay, I'm high risk. So
there's two dynamics that I know are going on that I have seen over the years, Catherine.
Yeah.
One is, well, Luke is a physician, so we should just listen to what Luke, you know, what the physician says. Completely taking out of context the fact that Luke really operated more like a medic on the battlefield. So when Paul or the other apostles were wounded and damaged, I mean, literally whipped and beaten,
right.
He was right there to, you know, put ointments on, you know, like from the herbs, because the Bible also tells us that God has provided everything that we need in nature.
Yeah.
So I could see him putting herbs on to cleanse for healing and for relief of pain.
Mm-hmm.
Bandaging and helping to support them. He wasn't cutting out body parts or, you know, taking babies out of the womb or things like that. He wasn't doing what we know physicians to be today.
Right, right. Well, or maybe we could say he was, like you were saying, a medic, but he was not an OBGYN.
No.
And, by any stretch.
And he did, there's nowhere in Scripture we see that he had to run and rescue any woman from birthing her baby.
Right.
But scripturally, we see other women coming in and helping women have babies.
Right, yes, there are.
That it was a woman's thing.
Midwife.
You know, that mm-hmm. God gave women to do. The other piece of that is almost a relief that, phew, now I don't have to go through labor and really rely on God and what he gave me to do. So I see Christians even, like, take the out because it seems easier, if that makes sense.
Yeah, unfortunately, to me it feels like a spirit of fear.
It is, yeah.
I'm afraid of what that might mean. I'm afraid of what the Lord might tell me to do that isn't what I really want to do, which is I want to be in my comfortable hospital bed.
Right, right.
Possibly.
They've not been encouraged in this generation of birthing women to really trust that God designed us to do this.
Right.
That we are really designed by God to birth babies. And when we deny that or we're afraid of it, or even in our fear if we don't go to the Lord with it, because the Bible does say you're going to have fear and anger, but just don't sin in it, but also come to me whenever you have fear.
Right.
I'm going to rest your fear. Then we're now not connecting with God. We're not pursuing a connection with God, as you know, spiritually we talk about in Romans a lot, how Romans 12, you know, that we are to give our body as a living sacrifice. Everybody focuses on that piece, don't they? But
mm-hmm.
there's more to it than that, isn't there?
Right. Yeah. I'm going to start at the very beginning.
Amazing.
So therefore, I urge you, in view of God's mercy.
In view of God's mercy.
To offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship.
You know, you're making me think of how we say a lot in the church, too, that God will always give you a way out because he's merciful.
Right.
And we submit our bodies to him completely in birthing. That can happen.
Yeah.
You know, when I was birthing my first baby, I was an absolute baby Christian.
Like
2 months into it when
wow.
I got pregnant. Yeah. So the only thing I knew was God doesn't give me more than I can handle. Well, when you go to 1 Corinthians 10:13, it talks about how God, you know, when you're in something, you're not having a temptation that's beyond what any other people have had. So, hello, your labor is not beyond what any of other women have to have. Now, it may be longer, it may feel harder, but, you know, they've actually tested pain levels.
Yeah.
Across the board exactly hits the same. It's just our perceptions of it are different.
Right. I was just going to say it might feel harder or more painful than you expected it to.
Right. And that's what I had.
Yeah.
So my point was that using that, he says there he'll always give you a way through it or, you know, another way out.
Mm-hmm.
And so that 1 Corinthians 10:13 became kind of my life scripture after I had that baby. Because you know what his way out was?
What's that?
Trust me more. Connect to me more.
Was that hard to hear?
It was, because that meant I had to give up control.
Yeah.
So when we talk about pro-choice birthing, Catherine, what I always am talking about is make choices over anything you actually have control over, like who's at my birth,
okay,
where mm-hmm. I have my baby,
mm-hmm.
you know, that sort of thing. But then you have to release yourself to God, as you just read there,
right.
with the whatever I can't control. And I have no control of what this baby needs or what God needs for this baby to have or for me to have.
Right.
That process.
Right. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices.
Right. Because God is merciful and He yes. will enter in and He will help you through that.
Right. You know, as we were, just as we were preparing for this, I was looking at that first part in view of God's mercy, you know.
Amazing.
And it's so true. God right. is merciful. God is gracious. God is for us. He wants the best for us.
Right. And so that.
And that, you know, in view of that.
Right.
It makes it so much easier. Well, maybe I shouldn't say easier. Hopefully, spiritually, that will help you to be at peace
right.
with offering your body
right.
in pregnancy, in labor, in delivery
right.
to a merciful, gracious God.
Absolutely. And the other scriptures that connected to that for me was the 1 Corinthians in chapter 6, verse 12, and then it's repeated in 1 Corinthians 10, 23.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. So running
yeah.
away from a long labor or a difficult labor is not necessarily beneficial. It sure feels like it at the moment. I get that.
And we can do that.
Because he also says all things are lawful for me. And in one he says, but I will not be not dominated by anything. And in the other one he says, think of the other person more highly than yourself
mm-hmm.
in the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the other person in this situation?
Well, we could think, well, it's my husband, or it's a doctor, or it's a nurse, or the hospital.
Right.
But who is it really, do you think?
It's really the baby.
Yeah.
So when I was in that hard labor thinking, okay, God's going to give me a way through this, I also went into that labor knowing this isn't even my baby.
Yeah.
You know, so much, we're so self-focused in our times today. That it's like my baby, my outcome, my life, my. And all I kept saying was, this isn't even my baby. This is God's baby.
Yeah.
So if I'm fully submitting my body as a living sacrifice to a merciful God
mm-hmm.
for His child.
Yes.
Now, right. what does my opinion have to do with it?
Well... Nothing, I guess.
Right. What does my pain even have to do with it?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not one of those people who's saying you're just supposed to suffer for whatever.
No, we teach labor techniques to help reduce.
Right, right. So I can center, I can focus.
Yeah.
But you know what? If I'm connecting with God, I'm going to have pro-choice birthing because I'm going to understand my options and I'm going to take them to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to say, God, I want what's best. I don't want good. I don't want expedient. I want best.
Yeah, yeah.
Best for me, best for this baby, best for our marriage.
Yeah.
Through this process.
Right.
Now, having said that, if I'm doing that and I'm connected to Jesus, I'm not saying there is never a day that the Lord doesn't say, I have provided Caesarean for this situation.
Right.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And that would be less than 5% of the time.
Right. And then it does exist. It does happen when
right.
the Lord really will direct a couple to go to the hospital, you know, for if it's cesarean or if it's another medical intervention.
Right.
You know, you've talked before about a friend that had previous cesareans, and then for her fourth, I believe,
yeah.
her cesarean or her
scar. Yeah.
Yeah.
The ruptured, scrunch. And we had to have emergency surgery right there. But that was
right.
so God-led. That's why if we are submitting ourselves to a merciful God, like
mm-hmm.
you just read,
mm-hmm.
He will, in His mercy, provide that bit as the
yes.
doorway out.
Yes.
But you know what? Then you know I'm in God's will and everything's at peace.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot tell you how many times I just felt the peace of God, even in something as intense as that.
Right.
Because the family submitted themselves completely And the mom submitted her body
and she
to God's mercy.
Even really want to go to the hospital.
No, she was planning a home birth.
Right. So for her, it was submitting to something she didn't really want to do.
No, but she had total peace by the time she said to me, I cannot explain it, but I know that God is leading me to do this way. I'm like, that is all we need to know, isn't it?
Amen.
But you do want to look at options and choices, because statistics do matter. If a doctor says, well, my cesarean statistic doesn't matter, it really does. Because if your C-section rate is 33%, that means you think 33% of births are an emergency.
Right. One out of three.
Right. So if the doctor down the road has a 15% C-section rate, he thinks only 15% of births are an emergency.
Right. That's true.
So he's more likely to work with those issues between 15 and 33 in a different way.
right. And it's also important, too, like you were mentioning statistics of a doctor, there's also, you know, if you're looking at hiring a doula, if you're looking at hiring a midwife, you know, what are their statistics for how they walk a couple through birth? Do they advocate for their couples? Do they not? Do they try every natural means possible before transferring to the hospital?
Absolutely. And so, you know, what we usually tell people in our choices for discerning childbirth seminars here at Dunamoth Center Ministries, or even you can order the workbook at the website you mentioned, dunamothcenter.com.
Mm-hmm.
And did you mention that Dunamoth was spelled D-U-N-A-M-A-S?
Center? I think so.
Okay.
Should we say it one more time?
Yeah, D-U-N-A-M-A-S. But the point is that people will say, well, if I'm just trusting the Lord, why is it important to know that? Because sometimes you may feel God is leading something and you don't understand it.
Right.
So you don't go that way because you don't know why God would be telling you that, or it doesn't seem to make sense, so you tend to turn away from it. But if I have the information, then as God talks to me about it, it makes sense to me to, I should interview a midwife because this is what midwives are about, or, you know.
Right. And that's, for example, my husband and I, before our first two children, I had never known anyone to do a home birth. I mean, it was kind of an old-fashioned thing that people didn't really do. I just didn't know. You know, I couldn't exercise faith to, you know, in regards to something that I knew nothing about.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, no one gave me any clue about it. So we did have hospital births with the first two, and thank you, Jesus. They, you know, were vaginal births, and they weren't perfect, but, you know, I feel very fortunate that we didn't end up with cesareans with either one. But it was, you know, so that's another piece of it. You know, the more knowledge you have, the more faith you can exercise to do X, Y, Z.
Yeah, to do things different.
Mm-hmm.
We tend to do things the way that we know.
Mm-hmm.
The more we know, the more choice we have, the different we can do it, the more we can hear from God.
Absolutely.
And so you don't want to overwhelm yourself with too many choices, but at the same time, if you don't even know there's any, then what do? You just do what you know.
Right.
So exactly. We always say, don't go with what you know. Okay. Learn more and then go with what God tells you to do.
That's right. I like that.
Yeah. You know, and then I heard a preacher once say, if you don't have the knowledge of the possibility of something, then you can't exercise your faith in that area. So if I had never heard of a midwife and God is putting the word midwife in my brain, what do I do with that word?
Explore it.
Right.
Yeah.
And like you said, if God says home, 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 and I don't know what that means in relationship to birth, what does home, home, home mean?
Yeah, yeah. God speaks to us in a variety of ways.
Right.
And, you know, if you feel real peace about, you know, when you talk to a midwife, that could be God, you know, helping you to make that decision.
And be open, because, you know, Catherine, I would sometimes talk to people about statistics again. Your hospital, your doctor has a really high C-section rate.
Mm-hmm.
You're choosing that. You're choosing to be under that.
Yeah.
You know, and I would have people say this to me. Well, if God wants me to have a home birth, he's going to have to tell me that. And I'd be thinking, did it occur to you he put me here to tell you this?
Right.
So be open to listening to what people are saying. Don't let fear shut you off. Don't let what everybody else is doing shut you off from those choices.
Mm-hmm.
Because God might very well be trying to tell you something that's foreign to you.
Right.
But not wrong.
Right.
That makes sense.
Right.
And so consider it. Consider it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That reminds me of in John, there's a verse. It's chapter 4, verse 24. It says, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. So, you know, there's an element of we need to worship in spirit. What is the Lord telling your spirit about,
right.
you know, how to deliver and how to go through labor? And what is the truth?
Right.
What is the truth of what he's telling you or
right.
leading you toward?
Well, you know, a woman I know in birth always says, if you don't want a cesarean, don't go to the cesarean mill. You know, you
just
can't.
Saying.
You almost can't get any simpler than that, really.
Right. Yeah.
And so, how does my choices start? Well, you know, I usually encourage people just start with God doesn't need any help.
Mm-hmm.
And then if He wants you to have something, you'll know, and it'll be added on. So don't start with a bunch of stuff on and then demand God tell you what to remove.
Okay.
Start with nothing.
Yeah.
And let Him put on what He wants. You know, we're supposed to put on Christ.
Right.
Not take him off.
Right. Yeah.
So if I'm naked on the birthing issue, I have no concept, no clue. That means, and I know this will shock some people, I'm starting with the idea that God's been doing this, I don't know, since he created planet Earth, kind of his thing.
And Adam and Eve anyway. Yeah.
And there were no midwives, there were no doctors, there was no help for anything.
Yeah.
So people will argue, and moms and babies died. Not arguing that point. Moms and babies die today anyway. In fact, they're dying at a higher rate today than they were in 1991. You can go look at the WHO statistics.
In the United States.
Yes, in the United States. But I start with nothing, and then I let God add. The nothing is I'm birthing at my house, and there's not even a midwife there. So
right.
Now, what does that mean? That means, God, what do you want me to do? I'm starting with nothing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you want me to stay there, I'm comfortable there because I have you.
Yeah.
If you want me to have somebody attend, okay, now I got to go look at those interview midwives, find out statistics, training, you know, what makes a good wife, midwife, what doesn't. You have to do a lot more research now than you did when I was having my kids because midwives are not all created equal anymore. And we have a show on that, by the way. If you look on our Blog Talk Radio archives, you'll see a show called Midwives Are Not All Created Equal.
Yeah.
Then after that, if he wants me at the hospital, like we mentioned my friend, and I've known a couple other people, clearly the Lord was telling them to go there. That's that Romans 12:1, because we have a merciful God.
Mm-hmm.
Surely in the Old Testament, moms and babies died. We do have a merciful God who has provided for
Amen.
Us. And our primary choice should be whatever God wants, I choose to do.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, an exciting time for us to talk about these things. And I think that, you know, we're having an open house at our new center, which we'll talk about a little bit more in the next shows on June 4th. And Catherine and Jeff, you're going to talk a little bit about God being in that choice. Here,
that's right. The open house is June 4th, and that's right. My husband and I will be doing a presentation about that.
Yeah, so if you're in the Colorado Springs area, know that you're invited. Watch this space. Watch our website to learn more about that. And we are going to require a head count because we are having some catering. So,
you will have
to RSVP at all of those places that we mentioned at the top of the show on how you could contact us.
Right.
So anyway, I love having these kind of discussions with you, Catherine, and, you know, looking at how God's word applies.
Excellent. Sorry.
I know it overwhelms us, doesn't it?
I know, speechless.
It does. Well, I'm Dr. Pauline Dillard.
And I'm Catherine Pearson.
And we look forward to talking with you next week.